Always grateful to be with all of you. I do not take this place lightly, and I am grateful to get to reflect on the word together. But as is true, we bring our whole selves to the text. So let's pray in submission to God before we begin. God, you who are before all things and in whom all things hold together, we trust that you are leading us. We ask that our hearts might be open to that which you have to teach us. Even when our lessons are challenging and painful, we trust that you are shaping us into someone that we do not yet know, into a greater version of ourselves, more fully submitted to your truth. We're grateful, God, for this community in which we can grow, in which these differing opinions do not divide us, Lord, but draw us together in the community and communion of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Imagine in your mind a perfect apple. I come from New York, you all know this, and New York is apple country. I grew up with access to what felt like a million different types of apples, right? Macintosh and Empire and Cortland, Paula Red, Pink Lady, Northern Spy, Honeycrisp, all amazing apples, a little bit tangy, a little bit sweet. They've got that perfectly crisp outer skin. Delightful. Maybe you get your apples mostly from the grocery store. That's where I get most of mine. Maybe you get yours from the farmer's market, but you can also go and pick them from an orchard. I've gone apple picking, and I love the feeling of pulling fruit off the tree or picking up the best ones that have just fallen on the ground. But what would happen? Imagine if you went out to the orchard and you pulled an apple off the tree. And I mean, it's beautiful, right? Shining, perfectly colored skin, no marks or mars in it. And you start to bite into it, or you start to cut it open, and when you open up the apple, the whole inside of it is rotten. From the outside, the apple is perfect. But the apple itself is completely decayed. So you would bring it, reasonably, to the owners of the orchard to let them know that one of their trees is growing rotten apples. But what if they told you that that rotten apple is actually normal? It's actually how it's supposed to be. You would reasonably try to explain to them that this had gone bad, that something was wrong, and it's completely inedible. But if they insisted, the apple is just as it ought to be, ripe and fresh. Our conversation today is about peace. This is our third fruit of the Spirit that we're studying together this year. And you might remember that the fruits of the Spirit are things that the Spirit of God grows in us as a reflection of our submission to God. And it's true that we have a role to play in being fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to plant these fruits. But today, in the wide scope of things we could talk about, when it comes to the topic of peace, we're going to talk about false peace, those who proclaim it, and how we can instead seek the peace of the Spirit. Our text today is four short verses from two different books, both prophets of the Hebrew Bible. You know, this is kind of unusual for me. I like to preach from a section of text. But when the scriptures repeat almost identically the same concept four separate times, it's worth paying attention to. This is not the kind of thing that we want to ignore. And so we're going to start with Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. This portion of Jeremiah includes a prophecy about those who are greedy for things that are not theirs, those who lie and who do so without the appropriate level of shame that they should feel. These are people who are offering care, priests and prophets, yes, but community leaders, political influences, and they're disregarding their own work. They should have been responsible when tending to this struggling group. But instead, they were careless and negligent, neglectful. And the lousy treatment that they're offering, they heard the concerns of the people and they discarded them. They said to the people, "This is peace. You are at peace." When in fact, there was no peace to be found. Jeremiah 8:11, just a few chapters later, reads almost identically. "They have treated the wound of the daughter of my people carelessly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." These leaders, again, who should have been conscious of the world around them, truth speakers in their own community, instead dismiss the griefs and the concerns and the hardships of their people. And many of the problems that are concerning the people are issues that these very leaders have started. But the leaders would rather encourage silence, offering this soothing phrase to keep people from speaking up. What they're looking for is to maintain their own power and influence so that no outside threat could disrupt it. They don't want to bear the consequences of their own greed, and they know that lies are easier on them than the truth would be. They say, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. Our third verse, Ezekiel 13:10. "Because in truth, because they have misled my people, saying, 'Peace,' when there is no peace, and because when the people build a flimsy wall, these prophets smear whitewash on it." Now, we get to see another problem in this text. When any in power speak falsely of peace, the regular, ordinary people, like us, are threatened. Because the people have built a wall. This is an effort for them to create stability and safety. But what they build is flimsy. It's unsafe. But these false peace speakers look at the wall and they paint it strikingly white. "It's done," they say. "The wall is finished. It's going to serve its purpose." But they know that this is not the case. You don't have to be living in the time of the prophets to understand this situation. You have had and are having times in your life where you have come to those in leadership, religious leaders, politicians, newscasters, authors of books, community influencers, matriarchs and patriarchs, bosses at work, and you have told them just how challenging your world is. These problems that cause disruption in our life, financial stressors in ever-increasing number, it seems. The political parties stonewalling each other. A widening gap between super wealthy CEOs and everybody else. A spirit of hatred and disregard among the people. Marital issues and unhealthy relationships as the order of the day. And the insistence that so many people have on their own right to be judgmental. To those in power, you have declared things are not right. And what have they said to you? They said, "It's fine. It'll work itself out. You're just imagining things. This is just the way that things are. And in fact, how things are is normal. It's good. It's fine. It's nice, even. It's not a problem." You have had these same words spoken to you in a time of serious unrest. "Peace, peace." The world, your world, is filled with violence as the norm, antagonism and threats, harshness as a default setting, and suffering an everyday occurrence. And you have been told that these things are simply life. They say to those who are in distress, "Peace," but there is no peace. And as distressing as it is to be told that things are fine when they are not, sometimes we find ourselves unintentionally affirming that message. We sometimes wish to keep peace, to maintain order, to hold the line that we have been told. Whether unintentionally or much more likely unintentionally, the things that we absorb from our friends, from our communities, from the TV we watch, from the radio we listen to, They've told us that things are fine. And so when our friends and our coworkers come to us expressing these same deep concerns about the world, we dismiss it. We become like those who say to other people, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But we do it under the disguise of keeping things normal, just as they've always been. We have been at times deceived by the one who deceives, by the cultures and powers in our world, and we have believed in false peace rather than a true one. We are all responsible for the ways that we have affirmed and upheld this idea. We don't have to be the originator of the lie in order to keep it up, but there is hope. Our last verse will be 15 and 16 of the chapter 13 in Ezekiel that we've read, where God makes a promise to return to those who have led us to this. Thus I will spend my wrath upon the wall and those who smeared it with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it, the prophets of Israel who prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for it when there was in fact no peace, says the Lord God. God takes this idea of false peace very seriously. And God wants to be clear in these prophetic words that those who speak this lie will receive what's coming to them. But why is it important for us not to speak peace when there is no peace? Well, at the center of this, it is because when we normalize a world that is filled with struggle and violence and war, and we claim that that is peace, we lose our ability to make peace. Those who mislead us often want everyone to be peacekeepers, and they will talk a big game about the importance of keeping the peace. But to keep peace is more about order and control than it is about peace. Because accomplishing true peace in a world that is so disordered demands disruption. When a world of greed and violence and shamelessness about the harm that is done to people becomes normal, peace is then impossible. There is nothing to hope for. After all, if this world, as it is right now, is peace, then what could be better than peace? What could we imagine? What could we push for? What ways could we grow? What fundamentals of our life could change? There is no chance for improvement if false peace is labeled as true. We now see the weight of what danger exists in false peace, and we're asking ourselves, what in the world can I do? What is my responsibility when so many declare peace in a world that is not peaceful? Well, a significant element for seeking peace and being ready to receive the peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, is to speak and acknowledge the truth. We can choose to stare bravely into the world, into the grief of our circumstances, into the struggle of our communities, into the hardship of our homes. And we can declare that this is not a world of peace, but peace is possible. Without imagination and a willingness to see the world truly around us, we cannot have hope because our whole worldview is too distorted. But by the Spirit and through communities of people who are filled with the Spirit, we can discern between true peace and false peace. And we can imagine ways that a world shaped by true peace will be so much better than our own. We do not have to nod along to the status quo. You do not have to affirm the distress that they are calling calm. You do not have to accept what is abnormal, what is normal that should be abnormal, like unchecked gun violence, unaffordable health care, the failures of mental health systems to care for people who are hurting. You do not have to see unequal home relationships and a culture of combat as peaceful reality. But believers of God who have the Spirit growing the fruit of peace in their lives can speak the truth. This is not true peace. It is a pathetic and sad copy, a bad imitation, and a lousy fake. We can be ready for that fruit to grow in us and to hope for the future when true peace becomes our full reality. We do not wish to be peace callers, peace namers, peace keepers, or even peace fakers. Instead, we wish to be peace creators and peace makers. To do this, we choose to speak when we see false peace labeled as true. We resist influences that would prefer us to turn a blind eye. And we understand that peace is not simply the absence of violence, but truth and wholeness, the chance for complete human flourishing. Peace is what happens when communities are deepened and when safety for everyone is the norm, when significant social and economic inequalities are erased, when love is the central goal. Peace is the kind of life that truth brings into the world, when our relationships are not strained by the lies of our culture. Peace is when we set aside concern for ourselves because we know that our community will care for us as we need. Peace is no arms raised against each other, no words weaponized as threats. Peace is all people, inequality and injustice, living in the truth. We believe that the gift of peace is given by the Holy Spirit and by Christ as a reflection of faithful living. And we can know that the fullest peace is still ahead of us and can also affirm that peace can come in our world and in our country and in our homes and in our hearts. In rejecting those proclaiming peace when there is none, we create a path for true peace to live and for hope to come again.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.